Some Important Questions from Blog Readers by Bart Ehrman. Here are some questions that I have received recently from readers. Question. I'm curious about when Paul's letters were compiled and by whom. It seems almost miraculous that in that time period, letters sent to various destinations around the Mediterranean could somehow be gathered up together in one place. What are the earliest fragments or complete copies that we have? Response. It's an unusually complicated issue, and it has vexed scholars for a very long time, but there is nothing miraculous about it per se. The letters of Ignatius, somewhat weirdly, we have seven of those too, were also collected at some point, and they too were sent to a wide range of places. But how it happened, in either case, is the tricky question. With respect to Paul, we already reference a list to his letters in 2 Peter 3:16, where the anonymous author, without telling us which ones he knows, calls them scripture, and Ignatius himself, around the year 110, mentions Paul's letters. Our earliest relatively full manuscript of the letters, called P45, comes from later, around 200 CE. Both Marcion, around 140 CE, and Papyrus 45 apparently were missing the three pastoral epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Papyrus 45 is fragmentary and is missing the last few pages, but the missing pages would not have been enough to fit in the three letters. Marcion had only 10 letters in his canon. Whether he knew more can't be determined. Some people have proposed that Paul himself kept copies and that's where the collection started, but that seems improbable since he must have written hundreds of letters and certainly could not have kept them all. Usually, it's thought that a church like Corinth or Philippi that has a letter or two heard that another church had an important one and got a copy of that for themselves, and it kind of snowballed from there. But there is no way to know for sure. Question. Bart, what should we understand by exousia in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10? Response. Ah, right. Paul says that a woman is to have an authority, that is, exousia, on her head. In this context, the word is sometimes translated veil, though it clearly does not literally mean veil. The word means something like power or control or authority. One problem is that authority can be an abstract authority, such as I have the authority to do this, or some person or entity that wields that abstraction, such as I got in trouble with the authorities. It could mean something like a symbol of authority, and so that may be something like what Paul has in mind. The veil on a woman's head could show that she is under an authority, such as that of her husband. The matter is complicated by the even more famous problem of the same sentence that Paul explains that women need an authority on her head because of the angels. What? What that mean? There are two main lines of thought about this. One is that he might mean the wicked angels, as in Genesis chapter 6, where the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and came down to have sex with them, producing the giants who roamed the earth, leading to the flood. In this case, the veil would somehow protect the woman from these wicked angels. But how? Would the veil provide some kind of power that can repel their advances? It's not clear how a literal veil or her husband's authority could do that. Or maybe the veil hides the woman's beauty, so the angels aren't attracted to her. So her beauty is under her husband's authority or needs to be hidden from them by a veil. The other explanation is that Paul is referring to good angels who, in Jewish tradition, were used by God to create and structure the world and its hierarchies. In that case, the veil would show that the woman is under the authority of her husband, as ordained by God and his angels. So that's why she should wear one. As you can imagine, there are lots of debates about all this and almost no certainties. Question. In section or chapter 12 of The Jesus Dynasty, James Tabor brings up the idea that the Eucharist, as presented in John and by Paul, was not the original ceremony. He refers to a 1st century or early 2nd century document found in Greece in 1873 called the Didache, or Teaching, that gives a different prayer commemorating the eating of bread and wine. The wine represents the cup of the vine of David, given as a gift to Israel, and the bread represents Jesus' marriage to the church. Do you give any credence to the idea that Paul changed this to the body and blood symbolism and negated the original Eucharistic prayer? Response. Yes, the Didache is an important document of early Christianity. I translated it in my edition of the Apostolic Fathers. You can find the relevant portion with a brief introduction in my book After the New Testament, second edition, pages 460 to 61, and a bit more information can be found on pages 436 to 37. It probably dates to around the year 100 CE. The Didache does record two prayers spoken by the author's community at the communion meal, one over the bread and one over the cup, that's chapter 9, and then a prayer of thanksgiving after everybody had eaten, and that's chapter 10. The prayers are not like the words spoken by Jesus at the Last Supper, as recorded in the Synoptics and in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. But the passages in the New Testament, unlike the Didache, are not prayers to be said at the meal. They indicate, instead, what Jesus himself said at the time he instituted it at the Last Supper. Moreover, the Didache does not indicate that the prayers were used everywhere, or that they were the original prayer said, or that they were what Jesus himself said when instituting the meal. They are prayers that Christians said in this particular community. Since they are prayers attested much later than the New Testament sources, and are not words of institution by Jesus, but prayers by his later followers for him, I don't think that they were likely to have been earlier than Paul's accounts or the Gospels' accounts, or that the New Testament accounts developed out of them. Now, I'm afraid I haven't reread James Tabor's discussion, so I'm not exactly sure what he's saying about them. You may want to check to make sure.